This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio. It's like all dance. They hear me coming through your speakers. You see me mashing up your airways. I know you can't get enough of my sound. It's like all dance.
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show, and happy Valentine's Day to everyone listening at home. Today I am joined by a very special man, and a man that I have kind of admired and looked up to for a while. He is an actor. He's been on a very famous soap that you may have heard of, and he also does a lot of stage work. It is the amazing Charlie Condu.
Woo, good evening.
How are you doing, Charlie?
I'm all right. I'm full of a cold, so I apologise now if I like cough and splutter all
you
the
can,
way through this
You can
chat.
Cough and splutter all
I've
all
got
you
my
like.
Tissues, and somebody's going to bring me a Lemsip as well, so I'll probably perk up in about it's, half an hour.
It's kind of the height of glamour at Football Radio.
Bit
of a Lemsip. I feel really, really bad because I've stolen you away from your husband on the most romantic day of the year.
Yes, except my husband is the least romantic man
really?
In the world. Yeah, oh, totally. We've never celebrated Valentine's Day or anything like that. We did do that M&S meal for two thing for £20.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We did it yesterday, and mainly okay. because we both fancied a steak.
Yeah,
and the free chocolates and wine that you get with it. And I said to him today, I said to him this morning, oh, well, you know, have you got me anything for Valentine's Day? And he said, oh, well, the thing is that you're so wonderful that there's nothing that I could get you that would be good enough. So basically, that was nothing. He got me nothing for Valentine's Day. But then I didn't get anything.
That's a really, really romantic way of not having to buy
you
a gift.
I've left him putting the kids to bed. So,
so who's winning him?
Yeah, exactly. And I've got a beautiful cupcake that you've just given me.
Yeah, I brought Charlie a cupcake and I did it with the best intentions. But I like dropped it like three or four times on the way here. So it's looking...
No, it was properly mashed up and upside down when I opened it. But you know what? It looks like it will taste... delicious.
It kind of looks like how my love life feels.
Really?
Like on its last legs.
Oh dear.
A little bit disheveled, but
trodden
still,
on.
Still trying hard and still
trying hard, yeah. Still optimistic and still some glitter there.
Absolutely. Just. And that that's what I'm all about. I don't have any Valentine's Day plans myself, other than being here with you, which in itself
is
pretty great. But you know, I just thought today that I wanted to kind of celebrate like friendships and things like that. So I've been doing little cupcake deliveries.
Oh, that's
all day
nice. Suddenly I don't feel special anymore.
Oh no! halfway through telling you that, I was like, rein it in. I shouldn't have given away my secret. Yeah. But you know, I don't think that Valentine's Day should be exclusively for people in relationships.
I think everyone
can share a little bit of love.
Absolutely.
And, yeah,
I agree.
So you're not bringing your husband a little cheeky surprise home later?
No. Yeah, I'm going to give him a mashed up cupcake when I get in.
I'm sure he'll love it. Don't tell him it came from me.
No, I won't. He'll think I bought it.
We have a great show today. later on in the show, we're going to be reacting to people's sex confessions. And so if you are listening at home and you do have any confessions that you'd like to share with us, I'm really, really interested in knowing like the most... interesting or embarrassing things that have happened to people on Valentine's Day specifically, because I know myself I've had some Valentine's Days that have gone wrong.
Have you?
And I will indulge. I will share those a little bit later. So if you are listening at home and you do have any Valentine's Day stories you want to share with us, or just any sex confessions in general, then you can send those in to callum@fubarradio.com and we'll be reacting to those a little bit later on. But should we start off with a little bit of Stevie Wonder, Charlie?
Yes, can we?
Yeah, we absolutely can.
Spending most of their lives living in a pastime paradise. Been spending most of their lives living in a pastime paradise. Been wasting most of their time glorifying days long gone behind. Been wasting most of their days in remembrance of ignorance so disgraced. Tell me who are them. Dispensation, isolation, exploitation, mutilation, mutation, miscreation, confirmation to the evils of the world. Been spending most of their lives living in a future paradise. Been spending most of their lives living in a future paradise. They've been looking in their minds for the day that sorrow's lost from time. They keep telling of the day when the savior of love will come to stay. Tell me who of them will come to be. How many of them are you and me? Proclamation of grace, relation, consolation, integration, verification of revelation, acclamation, world salvation, vibration, simulation, confirmation to peace of the world. They've been spending most of their lives living in a pastime paradise. They've been spending most of their lives living in
Charlie, this is a long outro. We are going to be playing a little game now.
Go on.
So this game is called Queers Throughout the Years.
Oh, go on. This is new.
And so basically, every single week, I have my guests and I read LGBT plus facts from history to them. They have to figure out whether they're true or false. That's usually what we do. And that's why it's called Queers Throughout the Years. But today, since it is Valentine's Day...
It's queers that I've slept with throughout the years, isn't it?
It is. No, I've got some facts about Valentine's Day. I want you to try and figure out whether or not these are true or false.
Uh-huh.
So we can dive right in.
Go for it.
Do you think you're going to be good at this?
No.
I feel like you're an intellectual man who knows a lot of things.
No, do you know what? I sound like I'm really clever, but I'm actually really fucking stupid.
you're hiding it well.
I am.
You're hiding it well.
Yeah, years of practice.
Well, I have high hopes in you anyway. Okay, so your first one.
Go on.
In South Korea, there are two more romantic celebrations in addition to Valentine's Day. February 14th is the day where people give gifts to their crush. March 14th is the day where people give gifts to their lover. And April 14th is the day when all the single people who didn't receive gifts on the previous days get together to eat noodles.
Do you know what? I would love that to be true.
It sounds lovely, doesn't it?
Because I think that would be a really nice thing.
Yeah.
But that seems like an awful lot of effort, doesn't it?
Are you not a fan of like occasions and celebrating everything?
No, I am. I am totally. But I just think that's the kind of thing that you'd be like, oh god, it's another month later, and we've got to do that. You know, it's the lover's turn this time. I'm going to say false. I think that one's false.
Do you really?
You think
that's false? Well, Charlie, you are completely wrong.
Oh no!
And it is. Absolutely true.
Is it?
And I just think that's lovely because I think...
It is lovely and I'm glad it's true.
Yeah, like I was saying at the beginning of the show, like Valentine's Day is very like romantic love and it's all about that. And I think it's nice to have a specific day just for kind of celebrating each other and like celebrating your friends.
Absolutely.
And I love that it's specifically getting together to eat noodles.
Yeah. yeah. Nothing else. Just noodles.
It has to be noodles while you think about all the gifts that you didn't get given.
You didn't get, yeah.
All right, your next one is, every year the population of the United States of America spend an average of £70 million on Valentine's Day gifts for their pets. £70 million.
Do you know what? I would say it's probably even more than £70 million because... Americans are idiots. And that's exactly the kind of thing that they would go nuts for.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm going to say that's true.
You think that's true?
Yeah.
Okay. You are wrong.
Oh, no.
But I feel like I should have given that to you.
Why?
Because you did pick up on the fact that it isn't actually 70 million. It's a lot more than that.
There you go. So I think that was it.
I'm going to give you a correct.
That's definitely a correct. I'm not surprised, actually. How much do they spend?
£700 million.
My God.
Every year. I don't even know what I would get my pet. Like a love heart-shaped biscuit. I don't...
A bone? I don't know. I haven't got any pets, so...
Yeah, me neither. I just... and it's also... That's 3% of all the pet owners in America buy Valentine's gifts for their pets. 3%.
Mind you, that's... I would have thought it was more.
Really?
Because they go nuts for their pets over there.
They do love them.
Yeah.
They do love that. And, I mean, she's not American, but, like, my mum would definitely... She's probably bought something for the dog today.
Right.
She's probably bought him a little outfit and
That's slightly weird.
It is a little bit weird. Yeah. She'll have dressed him up like Cupid. There'll be pictures on Facebook later, I'm sure of it. I'm absolutely sure of it. All right, your next one.
Yeah.
Many people sign Valentine's Day cards with the letter X after their name to signify a kiss. This originated in medieval times where many people were unable to read or write and couldn't sign their names. Instead, they would sign an X and then kiss the letter as a mark of their sincerity.
Oh, I think that's probably true.
Yeah?
Yeah,
what,
I do.
What's the logic behind that?
Well, just because in medieval times, most people didn't know how to read or write.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes sense. And, you know, we can all draw an X.
Yeah, we can all draw an X. And then I think, I don't know, there's something about like giving it a little kiss, like literally kissing the paper.
That's nice. Yeah.
Especially if you did it with like lipstick or something, so it leaves a little
mark. They probably wouldn't have had lipstick in those days, but they would have had syphilis. So, you know, that's nice.
Yeah, you know, pass it around as a Valentine's Day gift.
How romantic.
What did you say true?
I did.
You did. You are correct. That is absolutely true. Okay, the phrase "wear your heart on your sleeve" originates from a Valentine's tradition from the Middle Ages, where people would quite literally pin the name of their crush to their sleeve so that everyone could see it. This bold expression of love and candor was seen to be the height of romance at the time.
That's the kind of thing that sounds like it's probably true. But are you trying to catch me out?
I might be trying to trip you up.
You seem like the type. I'm going to say true. I'm going to go for true.
Yeah, would you pin your husband's name to your shirt and then...
No, I don't think I would, because I'm not very good with safety pins and I'd probably prick myself in the wrist.
Probably hurt yourself.
End up in A&E.
I think I would. I think it's quite... There's something quite... Like you're showing it to the world. And it's quite a... I think quite a brave thing to do as well. To like be like, I'm going to say that this is the person I'm attracted to and everyone's going to see that. Because that could quite easily end in humiliation.
Yes, it could. And we've all been there.
We have all been there. I've been there way too many times.
So many times.
But you're saying that this is true?
I'm saying it's true, yeah.
Absolutely correct. It is. You do
nailing
well.
This.
Yeah. See, I told you were intelligent. Yeah. I knew it.
It's 50-50, really, isn't it? So
intelligent,
they haven't all
guessing.
Been guesses, yeah. So.
Okay. Chocolate was a Valentine's Day gift that was originally given to those with broken hearts. In the 1800s, physicians prescribed it as the best cure for heartache, and so it was originally given sympathetically to those who were alone on this otherwise romantic day.
No, I don't think that's true.
No.
I like the sentiment behind it, but I don't think that's true.
Why not? That could very much be true.
Well... It could be. Which year was it? When was this? In the Middle Ages?
In the 1800s.
Oh, in the 1800s. So they had sugar then?
They had sugar. They had chocolate. Cadbury's has been around since like the 1800s, I believe.
It?
I think so. Probably got that wrong. Nobody Google that.
I'm gonna say no, just because, you know, we've had a couple of yeses and going with this whole guessing theme.
All right, so you think this is false?
Yeah.
You are wrong.
Oh.
It is completely true. And what I think is really interesting about it is that people genuinely went to see their doctor when they had a broken heart. I've fallen for this guy and he doesn't have feelings for me back, so I'm going to go and see the doctor.
Yeah.
And that seems so...
That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
What's even more ridiculous is the doctor went, here, have some chocolate.
Have some Cadbury's, apparently.
That'll make you feel better.
Yeah. I really don't know what to say about that. Apparently that was a thing. They genuinely prescribed
it. I wonder if it worked. I imagine Xanax probably works better.
I imagine. Just a little bit. Okay. Oh, and also the fact that I think I would be a little bit offended if it's Valentine's Day and I've got my broken heart and then one of my mates comes up to me and is like, you know, here's your box of chocolates.
Yeah.
That'll help you on your way.
Yeah.
Although,
you know, it is chocolate, so...
Can't go wrong with chocolate. That's true. Okay, the next one. This one is my favourite fact from the list. I think you're going to like
this one.
A herd of elephants in Botswana have been giving each other Valentine's Day presents every year for over 3 decades. It is believed that this was due to them observing human researchers exchanging gifts and imitating their behaviour. Although they don't always get the date exactly right, every year the elephants can be seen exchanging flowers, rocks, and other gifts in mid-February. They even experience embarrassment and social isolation if they forget to give their partner a gift, and newborn elephants who have never had contact with humans also now engage with the tradition.
No, that c- can't be.
Why?
Right.
It could, well, it could because 100% be true, Charlie.
They're elephants. And I love the fact that if they don't do it, they get shamed. Like, what? But do they get trolled on Twitter or something?
Why haven't you bought your missus a gift? Come on, Dumbo. Get it together.
No, I'm calling bullshit on that one.
All right, before you give your final answer, because, you know, I'm gonna try and help you out here, Charlie, because I'm such a giving person.
All right.
Like elephants do like other human social things,
like peeing.
They bury their dead.
Do they?
Yeah, and they go to visit the graves of the dead. Like they're really smart and they're really into the like whole social interaction thing. Like it's a thing that they do.
No, I'm still going to say no.
Well, you are, of course, correct. I just completely fabricated that. But it would have been amazing. If
it would have been
true.
Amazing.
There was a shred of truth in it. And there is
there wasn't, was there?
Elephants do give each other gifts.
Do they?
They do. They do go out and find something that they think that their partner elephant or their friend elephant would like. And they bring it to them. Here's your gift. Just not on Valentine's Day.
No.
Not finding hot.
Oh, that's quite sweet.
Yeah.
I've just remembered my son gave me a chocolate before I went out.
And you're keeping it in your pocket.
And I put it in my pocket and it's really disgusting and mashed up. I'm going to put that with that disgusting mashed up cupcake there.
Is that a Hershey's Kiss?
I don't know what it is. It's a chocolate that he'd been holding in his sweaty little palm probably since this morning and gave it to me very proudly. And I said, oh, I'm going to eat that later. And I put it in my pocket like I do with most things that he hands me.
Yeah.
I always end up with like pebbles or a dead flower or a half-eaten polo or something like that, and it just goes into my pocket all the time and I forget.
It's so lovely though. Like I kind of wish I like had a little boy to just like bring me random stuff to keep in my pockets.
That?
I absolutely don't. I absolutely have never wanted anything less in my life. Okay, would you like another one?
Oh god, how many of these have we got?
However many you want.
Two hours worth. Great, okay, keep them coming.
All right, this is actually the last one.
Go on.
People think that the dick pic is a modern day invention. But in actual fact, people have been sending pictures of their genitals to one another for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Particularly on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
It is thought that thousands of artists were commissioned by the wealthy to paint portraits of their genitals each year. And it is rumored that one famous artist was even beheaded by the King of Spain for making his genitals look, and this is a quote, exceptionally pale and withered. I mean, you wouldn't be best pleased if you're the King of Spain.
What an idiot. To be, I mean, really, you definitely want to kind of, you know, Photoshop that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. To be a bit more generous with your paintbrush.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
A couple of extra strokes there. Well, I'm going to, seeing as you gave me a quote, I'm going to say true.
Oh, but you know, maybe I was just trying to trick you up, with a quote.
You seem the type. I'm going to say true.
Yeah? Okay. Is that your final answer?
It is.
You're wrong. I love the idea that people have been, you know, sitting there with their legs akimbo with a painter there, you know, painting away for hundreds of years. But no, it's not a thing. I'm sure it did happen.
I'm
sure it happened a couple of times, but like it being a widespread thing on Valentine's Day every year.
Although I wonder if they would send, you know, portraits of other people's genitals, just like on Grindr.
Perhaps. Oh, I've got so many people, and this probably happens to you as well. I've got so many people right now going on Grindr and using my pictures, and some of them are like they're using another name and they're just using my pictures. But some of them are like pretending to be me and like chatting people up and saying that they are me.
Oh my god!
And then they're like saying that they're into all of these fetishes and things, which I'm fine with. I'm open to absolutely anything.
Sure.
I don't like people saying things about me that aren't true.
No, I am with you on that one.
You know, but like I keep like reporting them to Grindr and trying to get them taken down, but it's a bit of a nightmare.
That is a bit of a nightmare. No, yeah. I don't. I mean, Grindr. I've been in a relationship for such a long time that it didn't exist when I was single.
Yeah,
with Gaydar, definitely. But I don't. There are websites out there where people have had whole what's it threads about people that claim to have had sex with me, which is quite interesting.
Really?
Yeah, that I've looked through and thought, that's clearly not true. That one, maybe.
But the rest of them.
But that one, not so much. And there was there were a few of us at Coronation Street, actually, who had those photoshopped. So there are a lot of pictures of my head on porn stars' bodies.
Right,
or
okay.
Me having sex with me. Quite clearly photoshopped.
Yeah.
So I've had a lot of that. But I don't know about the Grindr thing. I'm not on it, so I don't know, maybe.
I'm sure.
Good luck to them if they could, you know.
There's probably somebody out there. I imagine at least one person out there
pretending to be me.
Pretending to be you. Yeah,
and I hope they get some action.
That's a great response.
Right.
Good luck to them. We're going to play some Two Truths, One Lie, Charlie.
Oh yes.
So get them ready. We're going to have a bit of music, and then we're going to come back. So
all right.
Get your two truths and your lie ready. All right. This is Closer by Tegan and Sarah.
All I want to get is a little bit closer. All I want to know is, can you come a little closer? Here comes the breath before we get a little bit closer.
Are you ready to play this game, Charlie?
Oh, no, I was ready, and now my phone's turned off. I had to write them down because I couldn't remember what I'd chosen. All right, I've got them.
Okay, I'm ready.
So you want two truths and one lie?
Yeah, about yourself.
Okay. Well, in no particular order. Number one is I was expelled from school at the age of 11.
Okay. Wait, let's slow this down because I want to pick these apart. So what were you expelled for?
Oh, I didn't know I was going to get quizzed on all of
this. Yeah, I'm going to quiz you.
I was expelled for truancy.
Hmm. How much truancy?
Well, enough to get me expelled.
Well, hang on a minute. What a ridiculous punishment for truancy.
Why?
Because you're skipping school.
I was skipping school.
And the punishment for that is no more school for you.
Yeah.
That's not really a punishment. That's,
well, it was kind of their reasoning behind it was, if you don't want to be here, then there are other kids that do. And I'd got a scholarship to get into this school. And I clearly wasn't using it. So I didn't like it very much. I didn't like the school.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess if you had a scholarship and everything, that is kind of a bit of a blow. Yeah. And you were 11 years old.
I was 11 or 12.
11-ish, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for my Lemsip.
I feel like... I'm not committing just yet, I feel like that's true. But let's hear the next one.
And the next one is, my dad was an international drug smuggler.
Wow. Okay. Is this a known thing already? Like, did the world already know this?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. And was he caught?
He was.
And imprisoned?
He was.
For how long?
I'm actually not entirely sure how long. But I think a few years.
Okay, so he's not in prison currently.
No, he's not alive anymore.
Oh, okay. What kind of drugs? I feel like you must have stories about this. I feel like I want more information.
What kind of drugs? hashish.
Hashish. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that is.
Dope.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and. Again, I feel like that's quite a random thing to make up.
Quite random, yeah.
So, again, I'm kind of feeling like that one is probably true.
Okay.
But so let's hear the third one.
All right, and the third one was, I was scouted at the age of 14 by Arsenal's under-16 team and was very nearly a professional footballer instead of an actor.
Wow.
Or nearly went into that instead of, I can't say whether I would have been a professional footballer.
But yeah.
Nearly went into that instead of acting.
And what age did you go into acting?
Well, seriously, I suppose when I left school at about 18, but I'd always done little bits.
So you're already dabbling in acting. Yeah. You'd already kind of decided that's what you wanted to do. And did you turn it down? Is that why you didn't do it? Wow, that's quite a big thing to turn down.
Yeah.
And so, and you were always into, you must have been massively, massively into football.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
So you are still today?
Yeah.
Favourite team?
Arsenal.
Favourite player?
But I could tell you any player and you probably wouldn't know, would you?
I wouldn't know either.
All right, Ryan Giggs.
Sure. Love Ryan.
Yeah.
Favourite guy. Wasn't he like a, like a real, he was, right, Ryan Giggs was like massive, like in the 90s, right?
Yeah, in the 90s. He was Man United.
Growing up, like he was... Yeah. All the schoolboys would be like, oh, Ryan Giggs. Yeah. Oh, so kind of feel like I may have exposed a little weakness there mm-hmm. with that last one. Mm-hmm. Feel like you would, if you were so into football back in the day, that you would be able to give me... Name another football player.
No, you can't keep asking questions.
Okay, so 11 years old, expelled. I do feel like that's true.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I do feel like you do look a bit like a truant. You look like the kind of boy who would
I was a good boy at school.
I was a very good boy. I got detention once and I cried my eyes out. I was really upset about it.
I never got detention. I never got into trouble
apart from being expelled,
which is quite a lot of trouble.
Oh, see, now I'm starting to think this one might be a lie.
Mm, they could all be lies. That's the game.
You're telling me you never got a detention, but you did get expelled.
Yep.
Oh, see, and what was your second one?
My dad being an international drug smuggler.
Oh, they all sound like lies now. Okay, I'm actually going to say the football one is true, and you're just not, you've kind of fallen out of the loop with football and you're not that into football anymore. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm actually going to say that you were scouted when you were 14 years old to be, what was it, Man United?
No, Arsenal.
Arsenal, okay. So that's true. I'm also going to say that... I'm going to say that you were expelled when you were 11 years old and your dad was not an international drug dealer or whatever it was you said.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Do I get to press one of your buttons?
Yeah, if I'm correct, you can press number 3. If I'm wrong, you can press number 4. So your dad was an international drug smuggler.
He was.
Like, that's How? I just don't. Like...
Well, I suppose it's a bit misleading when
you consider.
Well,
here
no. He was smuggling drugs from another country, and he got caught, and he went to prison. So you know that's true. But it was the 70s, and he was a hippie.
Yeah,
and he used to go over to Morocco and buy a load of dope.
Yeah.
And drive it back, and. Yeah, he did it once. I was about 6 months old. It was the last time he did it. And he got caught in France.
Way. Were you in the passenger seat?
No, I wasn't there. Neither was my mum. And she'd said to him, please don't. And, you know, but he was like, oh, I'm just going to go over and get some. And he got stopped in France. And, he went to prison in France.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not sure how long it was for, but it was... I think I was around about five when he came out. So, yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. And actually, when you kind of give the context and the backstory, it doesn't sound anywhere near as bad. I was kind of imagining
he wasn't a bad man, my dad, at all. He was just a hippie, and I think he was like, oh, I can go over and get some and bring some back for my mates.
Yeah,
and that was what it was.
Good for your dad, you know? Good for him.
He was a good man, my dad.
So he wasn't like Mr. Kondu, like leader of the like drug cartel. That's what I was imagining. That was what I was imagining. And I was like, wow, this is an interesting thing to discuss live. Yeah. Okay, so that means, so which one is the lie?
Well, you tell me.
By my powers of deduction. that means that you didn't get expelled. Oh, no.
No, I did.
Wait,
I was
expelled.
Yeah, I know. But again, I wasn't a bad kid at all. I just, I went to this school when I was 11 and I did get a scholarship to get in, and it was really hard academically, and it was a boys' school.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I was a little gay boy and, you know, wanted to play with girls and, you know what it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just didn't fit in there, and I found it really difficult. And so I used to just not go all the time. I used to bunk off. And eventually I think they got in touch with my mum and said, look, you know, he was awarded a scholarship and... If he's not gonna use it, there are other kids that would. So can you take him out? And then I went to the local comp and had a great time.
Oh no way!
Yeah.
I completely relate with that actually because I never skipped school, but I did always used to skip my like PE classes.
Yeah.
Which is gym for any Americans listening. No. And I just. It was the exact same thing. I actually quite enjoyed sport. Like I used to love track, and I actually used to enjoy like some of the team sports and things. But it was the way the other boys kind of treated me, and they didn't know I was gay at this point or anything. Yeah. But I was kind of feminine, and there was a lot of kind of bullying and things going on. And whenever I would report it to like the PE teacher, for instance, no action was taken. So I used to bunk off PE all the time, and I would just, me and my friends, we would like go behind the bike sheds or hide in one of the buildings or something and always skip it. But I never actually got caught for it.
Right.
I managed to skip almost 2 years of PE and managed to get away with it. Still don't really know how because, you know, they took a register and all the rest of it. But yeah, managed to slip away with it.
Yeah.
So that means that you didn't get scouted.
No, not a clue. I'm a big old homo. I don't know anything about football at all.
I was really hoping to see, like, imagining, like, little Charlie, like, on the field, kicking balls around.
No, not two left feet. But my husband, Cameron, he was captain of the football team at school and captain of the basketball team. Yeah, he was, like, super achieving kind of alpha male type.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good at all that stuff.
Oh, that's amazing, because what I was about to say is I was kind of hoping you would be, like, representation for, like, LGBT plus people in sport there. But, your husband, I guess.
I'm just a cliche.
Me too. Well, it was fun to kind of learn a little bit more about you. I'm going to share some of my secrets with you later. So
go for it.
You can. I'm not doing it right now. I need to think about them. Shall we have some more music?
Let's
have one of your choices. Okay, this is Buffalo Stance.
Go on. That's good. Now the tambourine. Right now. Noise, manhandling toys. That's the girls on the block with the
Bar Radio presents
Sarah Love and My Sticky.
We have this amazing station, and I thought let's use this to spread some love in the world.
That's right. We want some hip hop babies out there.
Email us if maybe you're looking for love in your life.
Yeah.
My name's Verity. I'm 5'10", and I absolutely love 80s music. I think my first crush was Rick Astley. So if you have anyone out there that looks like Rick Astley, that would be amazing.
So email us, hiphop@foodbarradio.com, and we're paying this.
You are going to have to account
pay for the baby.
Every Monday,
Sarah Love and My Sticky.
From 4 p.m.
Foodbar Radio.
All right, it's time for a bit of Porn or Not Porn. This is everybody's favourite game.
Yeah.
So here for you, Charlie, I've got some sound effects.
Right.
And some of these are taken from pornographic videos.
Yep.
And some of them have been taken from clips from the Winter Olympics. So it's either porn or people falling over.
Okay.
In the snow.
Okay, I'm going to be good at this because I've seen all the porn films.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you'd been like really watching the Winter Olympics.
No, not at all. But I think I've seen every porn film.
Every single one.
I'm sure of it.
Good. I've seen a fair few myself. Don't think I can say I've seen every one. So, okay, yeah, this will be a nice task for your memory then.
Okay.
Okay, here's your first one. What do we think?
Oh, can I have it? Oh, God, no, please don't let that be from a porn film.
You know what? This porn sound sounds really, really familiar. And I think my lovely, lovely producer, Abby, maybe has mixed up my sound effects. And this one was actually from a James Bond clip a couple of weeks ago. That was the theme. So that was neither.
Porn nor Winter Olympics. I'm glad that wasn't porn, because you know what? That would have been really horrible. That would have been like a fisting video or something, wouldn't it?
Because he didn't sound like he was in the best pleasure, that gentleman.
Not really, did he? Assuming it was a gentleman.
Okay, so would you like the actual correct sound effect? All right, let's see if this works.
Oh!
There we go.
No, I think that's Winter Olympics.
Do you?
I do, yeah. What do you think? Do you know these ones? Are you guessing with me or do you have the answers?
No, I have the answers on the sheet here. Okay. So I do know. But I have made a similar sound to this before.
Oh!
I have.
Have you?
I have.
Have you? At which point?
I think it's obvious. That's definitely the climax there,
do you think
isn't
so?
It? Yeah. Yeah.
I hear it again.
Okay, here you go.
Oh! No, I think that's Winter Olympics.
Yeah? Okay. Absolutely correct. This was Tyler Walker crashing down the men's downhill sitting skiing Sochi. This description isn't working for me. This is somebody called Tyler Walker
doing something in the snow, rolling around in the snow.
Good old Tyler. Let's have him one. Or her. Him or her. You know, Tyler is a androgynous name. Let's have it one more time.
Oh! Yep.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, your next one is...
Can I have that one again, please?
You can indeed. See, I feel like it's... What? Tell me your thoughts.
Well, it sounds like a group scenario.
It does indeed. I can hear some voices in the background.
There are other people involved.
Yeah. But, you know...
Which I guess is good for porn. No point in on your own, really, is there? I'm going to say that one is from a porn film.
Do you really think so? But those people in the background, they could just be like people cheering her on, you know? Like, come on, you've got this. Do that bobsleigh.
Could be, yeah.
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 No, I'm gonna go for porn.
Porn again? Absolutely correct.
Very good.
Rachel's Loud Sex XXX.
Oh.
You may remember that one because
obviously I've seen that one. Yeah, Rachel.
Yeah, that's one, you know, like 11 p.m., kind of getting a bit drowsy in the evening.
Yeah.
Bit of Rachel's Loud Sex XXX.
Totally wakes you up.
It's a classic.
Yeah,
it's a classic.
It's a classic.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Black and white as well.
Yeah.
Which is nice touch. Okay, your next sound effect.
That's got to be porn.
They've not made these very hard this week, have they?
They haven't really. that must be porn, surely.
It could be a red herring.
But how embarrassing if that is somebody from the Winter Olympics.
Just taking a tumble.
That's porn.
Yeah. It absolutely is.
And I've got to blow my nose, so can you mute my mic?
Go ahead. Blow away. I think they can still hear you on my microphone. Uh-oh.
That was one hell of a blow. Yeah, that's better. I'm fine now.
Better? Okay.
Yeah, much better.
So I'm surprised you don't recognise this one, because, again, it's from a classic. It's from a classic porn film.
Go on.
That's it. It was from Sexy Hippie Hairy Pussy Fucks Big Throbbing Cock.
Oh yeah, I was up for that. Yeah, I didn't get it.
Oh, yeah. You would have been so great.
Oh, I would have been great.
Well.
Yeah. Apparently, I wasn't hairy enough.
Enough
of a hippie.
You're a fairly hairy gentleman. I mean, I can only see you like neck up.
Yeah, no, not I'm not like I haven't got like a hairy ass or anything like that. But you know, up here, I grow a good beard.
Yeah, you look good with a beard as well.
Yeah, thanks.
I can't imagine you without one.
My children won't kiss me, of course. They're like that. No, just back off.
And that's because of the beard, not because,
it's because
they
of the
don't
beard.
Love
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and my breath, obviously.
All right, your next one is.
Oh, that sounds like an elephant.
It really does. It's one of those elephants giving gifts out.
Oh dear.
Oh. See, I feel like this is a tricky one.
It is a tricky one, and if that's porn, I'm not sure he's enjoying himself.
Well, you know, there's a lot of porn out there.
There is a lot of porn out there.
You know, and
is it one of those rape scenarios?
It might be one
of those. Is it one of those?
Staged rape.
Staged rape. Yeah, well, I hope so.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go Winter Olympics with that one.
You are?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to play it one more time.
Go on. Oh, well, now I'm doubting myself.
It's...
No, all right, I'm changing. I'm flipping.
Oh, you're changing?
I'm going porn.
Oh, I feel bad for making you change.
Oh, do you? Why, have
or
I got
maybe
it wrong
I,
now?
Well, you know, it depends whether I'm trying to make you win or fail.
Well, there is that.
So, finally, I need a final answer
I'll say porn.
You think that's
porn? I'll say porn.
Should have stuck to your guns.
Should have done, shouldn't I?
Should have stuck to your guns. This was Jenny Jones' bronze medal.
That's a lady?
That is a lady, yeah. Yeah, I hear a lady. I do. I hear her.
I hear a cow.
I don't know what was happening to her at the time. But, yeah, I think she was taking a bit of a tumble there.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Well, Jenny.
I feel like you're doing fairly well at these.
Am I? You're not counting, though. You've got no idea how many I've got right, have you?
Six.
This is outrageous.
Oh, wait. I'm being told how many you've got right. Three.
Three out of four. Correct out of four.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And I think if you get four out of five, I'm going to be really impressed with you.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go.
Freedom! Freedom!
Definitely played two at once there, which was a delight for the ears.
Go on.
I'm going to give that right to you again.
Freedom! Freedom!
Is he shouting freedom?
Sounds like he's shouting freedom.
Oh,
is this
no.
from
is this
like the
George Michael
French
from
Revolution
the Heath
or something?
Freedom! Freedom!
The thing is, I feel like he's outside and I can hear a crowd. So
yeah.
I'm going to have to say Winter Olympics, but is this like a trick one?
Yeah, because, you know, again, there are all kinds of different porn.
And sometimes, I have to say, at the point of arrival, I often shout freedom. So
same, actually. We have that in common.
Well, yeah.
We do.
I imagine. I mean, no, that's just a standard cum cry, isn't it? I'm going to say Winter Olympics.
Yeah?
Man.
Okay. Yeah. You are absolutely correct. That is Turin. I don't know who that is, but it's the women's snowboard cross final.
That was a woman as well?
Yeah, apparently so. Let's hear that one more time.
Freedom! Freedom!
I mean, I don't want to be cisnormative, but it doesn't sound like a lady.
It doesn't really, does it?
Maybe it's a gentleman celebrating on behalf of the lady.
Who knows?
Who knows, but you got it right. You got four out of five.
Okay.
Which is, I think, a pretty... You're up there, people.
I think I can hold my head proud.
I do think they made it a little bit too easy on a couple of these. I want to play the sexy, hippie, hairy pussy for you one more time. Because, you know, why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
definitely... She sounds like a hippie, to be honest.
Yeah, she's having a great time.
She's having a great time.
Well, speaking of sex, we are going to be reacting to your sex confessions later on in the show. So if you are listening at home and you do want to send in your naughty confessions, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. They are completely confidential and anonymous. Me and Charlie even won't know your name or who you are.
Yeah.
So don't worry about the whole world knowing your secrets and divulge as much as you would like to. So that's callum@fubarradio.com. And now let's have a little bit of Roller Coaster.
Shotgun love. those endless nights that we traveled, we stole. You let your clothes fall to the floor and lit a fire while I waited for more. And now I'm running and I won't stop. I don't wanna go. I think about it every day and night. I can't let go. And hey, I'm never the same. It's 100 miles an hour on a dirt road running away. So come a little closer. There's something I can tell you. It was that you're on a
So now we are joined by the absolutely amazing Erica Lust is with us here. Erica, I'm joined by Charlie here in the studio. And Erica, you are a erotic filmmaker, is that right?
That's right. Hello. How are you?
I'm very, very good. And actually, I was having a little look at some of your films last night. My lovely, lovely producer sent over some of your stuff and said, this is your homework for tonight, Callum. And I was like, you know what? Watching erotic movies. So tell me a little bit more about your erotic films and how you got into it.
Well, it's kind of a long story. It started many years ago back at university. I was, as so many young people, curious about sex, wanted to know more, wanted to see how it was done, and I wanted to watch porn, obviously. And what happened to me was that I kind of felt somehow that porn didn't really connect with me in the way that I wanted it to connect.
Sure.
And I felt that so many times when I talked to friends of mine, to boys and girls around me, it seemed like the boys had a really easy time to connect with porn. They were like, yeah, I love this. That's great. And the girls were kind of critical to it, you know. There was something amongst women that just felt like it wasn't really made for us.
Yeah.
And I was studying political science at that time, so I was in the mood of analyzing everything and deconstructing and trying to see structures and figure out how power structures kind of were made. And I realized the more porn I watched that it was always the male character that was the big protagonist, that was the main character.
Absolutely.
The women, their role somehow, it was to satisfy the men, but it wasn't really about them. It wasn't about, you know, about their sexuality, their fantasies. Many times it looked like they didn't even have real pleasure. So I kind of, it started back there on this personal level and on this theoretical level. And then years after, I had moved down to Barcelona and I was working in the film industry, basically as a production assistant, doing a lot of advertising and ads and television and different things. And I was studying filmmaking and I had an opportunity to do a short film as my exam project for this film school. And when I sat down and I started to think about what kind of short film do I want to do, I realized that I had this thought about pornography for so many years, because my feeling was that, oh my God, but it must be possible to do it differently. Why can't I do it from my point of view? Because I always kind of loved the idea of porn, of looking at people having sex, you know?
Absolutely.
The idea in itself, it's kind of great, right? But then I realized that there's so many, it's kind of become a little contaminated. There's so many bad values in most of the porn that's out there today.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And going back to what you were saying a moment ago about it never focusing on the woman, that's personally kind of an issue I kind of have with mainstream porn as well, is that the woman is actually a lot of the time seen as an object. And in things like lesbian porn, for instance, the focus isn't about women bonding and doing that together. And lesbian porn isn't marketed at lesbians, it's marketed at men, and women are seen as the objects. And I think that's really, really
the mainstream lesbian porn, because then of course there are lesbian porn for lesbians.
Yes.
But you have to, you have to go online.
You have to dig it out.
Around, you have to find it, the good stuff. Because there's the funny thing with porn is that so many people just talk about this mainstream porn all the time. Like that's the only thing that exists. But today, actually, there's a lot of independent porn out there, but you have to know kind of how to find it.
Yeah, and when I was kind of looking through some of your films, and they are films, they are short films. Looking through them last night, that was one of the first things that I noticed, was kind of how inclusive and how diverse it was of so many different people, but also the focus and how it was kind of from a female perspective and really kind of celebrating that as a thing. And they're so cinematic and so beautifully made. And honestly, just watching them, I was like, I literally hadn't seen anything like that in porn before. Maybe I'm looking in the wrong places, but I truly believe that you're creating something really unique, important and powerful.
Oh, well, thank you so much for saying that, because that's really what I'm trying to do. And I feel so happy every time I hear people that feels that I'm doing it. We are doing it, because it's not only me, obviously. I am making these films with a kind of a big crew. We are almost 15 people. Most of us are women behind cameras. So that's one of the important things. And I think that is why you kind of feel this female gaze behind the camera, because of the way we treat, the narratives, the stories, the developing of the characters, the ambient. And then, of course, we put a lot of effort in the cinematographic style, in the art, in the design, in the music, and, everything from wardrobe to makeup, to make everything just kind of look good and feel good and get into that erotic mood that I felt that I wanted to find porn that was more erotic somehow, because I think it can be both erotic and explicit at the same time.
Yeah, and at the beginning you were kind of saying how you've met so many women throughout your life who haven't been able to connect with porn. But I would say even myself, and perhaps it is connected to the fact that I'm a gay man and maybe I'm a little bit more sensitive and emotional, but even I sometimes have found it difficult to connect to porn. And I've always kind of thought, and I've said this before, that if they took the same kind of effort they do in telling stories and making beautiful pieces of art that they do with film, with porn, then I think I would be able to connect to it a lot more. And that was one of the first things I noticed with your films. When I was watching them, I felt like I was watching the kind of thing that I would go to the cinema to see.
And, that's so great to hear.
Yeah. But also, I was kind of wondering what your take is on why do you think there isn't more porn out there that's like that? Because the porn industry is such an enormous industry. There's so much money in it. So why aren't more people creating this kind of high value, really cinematic, beautiful porn?
because it is difficult to make it. It needs, you know, a lot of effort, a lot of energy, a lot of love, a lot of care. And I think that what has happened with the porn industry somehow is that it got away from the values that it had when it boomed. You know, when the porn industry got big in the 60s and the 70s, many of the people behind it, they were liberal people who were protesting somehow about this very conservative society we lived in. Mm-hmm. And they had visions for sexuality, and they had visions for filmmaking. And then with the boom of the VHS and the video, and when that got into every home, there was a lot of people who wanted to, you know, to earn money really on porn, who saw the potential in earning a lot of money. So I think a lot of people who were not interested really, neither in the sex, neither in the filmmaking, got into the business, and they started making porn as some kind of sausage factory, you know.
Yeah. I think I've seen that film.
Yes. And what I've seen, you know, since the 80s, 90s, I mean, it got more and more extreme. And instead of this kind of liberal, sexual, positive values, it got more and more into misogynistic values, mm-hmm. into destroying women, punish fucking them, taking them. You know, it was so much about destroying tiny teens. And even today, I mean, go around and look at all these tube sites online where the porn is free, and you will be taken away by some of the thumbnails of these texts, really.
Yeah.
They are so racist many times, so, you know, dividing people into fetishized groups of ethnicity or of body types or ages, you know, everything is Latinas, Asians, ebony, fat. Yeah. Small, big tits, chubby, petite, MILFs, teens, stepdaughters, you know, all these crazy genres that make you feel like they are dehumanizing people instead of celebrating sex, which I think that porn should be about.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you know, speaking of, you know, how racist and kind of uninclusive and kind of fetishizing certain groups as well.
And gender people, obviously.
Yeah, and yeah, absolutely. And again, that was one of the first things that I noticed was that you know, the films that you had there, and there's so many to choose from. Again, it wasn't kind of putting people into boxes and fetishizing people. It was saying these are almost stories between two people, and you know, you click on them like you would click on a film because you're interested in the story it's going to tell, rather than seeing like a thumbnail of, you know, somebody being aggressively fucked or whatever it is. You click on it because, you know, I as a gay man, I was clicking onto the porn films with two women and things like that when I was on having a look, and because I was intrigued and I was sitting and watching them. And although obviously they are incredibly erotic and incredibly sexual, I almost was able to appreciate them as art in itself. And then obviously if they've got, you know, a nice guy in it that I particularly like, then I can enjoy them as porn as well. But it's nice that you can do both. It's nice that you don't have to kind of do that thing that so many people do where they kind of finish watching their porn and then, ashamed of themselves, they quickly close it and clear their browsing history. You know, it would be nice if you could just watch it and enjoy it for what it is and it not just be porn.
And I think it's really important also because people are so hungry for narratives that talks about sex, you know, that talks about how people relate with each other sexually. Because porn, many times, the mainstream porn that's out there, obviously, many times it's just kind of focus on the postures and on the fluids and the techniques, mm-hmm. and, you know, but it's not really about how people connect sexually to each other. And I think that for me, that is one of the things I really want to focus on. Mm-hmm. I want to tell stories, you know, about who are these people, why are they into each other, what is going on between them. I think that for me, that is the the big kind of turn on. I need that context somehow to get into the story and to appreciate, you know, the sexual game between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But how do you think we could change? Do you think the industry is changing already? And if not, you know, how do we get it to change? How do we make it more inclusive?
Well, I think that we have to be responsible as consumers. I think that we need to start paying for our porn to get better porn, you know, to start backing companies or people or directors or actors that you feel that you connect with, that you share values with. I think that it's important when people go porn surfing that they check out the sites that they are visiting. Do that site has an about page? Can you see who owns the company?
Yeah.
Who's behind it? Who has made that film? Is there a picture, a name? Is there an interview you can maybe listen to or read or watch? Can you see some making of footage from the film that you are watching? So you make sure that you are watching something that people have actually been, you know, caring about the process of making it. Because I feel that most mainstream porn out there, it's become so anonymous. There's no one behind it. And that just feels to me that the people who are making it, they are obviously not proud of what they are making. Because if they were, they would show face, right?
Sure.
So I think we should all ask ourselves the question that if you don't pay for it, then who is paying for it? Or maybe you are the product, because I used to ask myself, like, is the business of all these tube sites online, you know? Obviously, it's not sex. Obviously, it's not porn, because that's not the real product. So I believe that their business is really moving traffic, right? They want as much traffic as possible to their site, and they use porn to get that traffic to their sites. But what do they sell to that traffic, to those people? Well, they're selling a lot of ads. And a lot of those ads are ugly ads, you know, selling pills that doesn't even work.
Yeah, definitely.
Or, you know, to date a slutty Latina in your neighborhood. That is not even, you know, it's like, where does it come from? People, the worst thing is that people do really, they put in their credit card details, you know, and they buy this kind of product. And then they feel ashamed that they have done it, so they don't go to the police and tell that the pills that they
bought, they don't work. And I think you're completely right, Erica. And I think one point you really made there that I think is something that we should really drive home is about kind of being responsible in the porn that you watch. I'm going to be honest, Erica. I have never paid for porn in my entire life, and I never really thought of that as a bad thing. But, you know, if I want to support, you know, erotic filmmakers like yourself, for instance, then you need to do that with money, or, you know, going to the right sites and like you said, going to people who are putting their kind of passion and things behind it.
And so remember that those kind of films, they cost money, because we, you know, we pay our actors, we pay our crew.
Absolutely.
Working on the websites that make everything work, that so you can watch the films with subtitles and in high definition. And then when it comes to adult content, also all these credit card companies, they charge very high percentage just to, you know, to manage an operation. It's not the same as when you buy shoes, where they maybe, you know, they want 100%. Here we are talking about, you know, 17%.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Why adult content is more expensive than other kind of content.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and I've definitely learned something here today, and I'm definitely going to take that away and try and be more responsible myself, and I hope that the people listening at home will kind of take something from that as well. Erica, I absolutely love everything that you're doing. I think it's incredible, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the show to talk to us here today. I think you've educated me and Charlie quite a bit.
I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you so much for inviting me and for letting me spread these words.
Of course. And where can people find your work if they do want to?
Well, they can come to ericalast.com, Erica with a K.
Amazing. Okay, so everyone listening should definitely go and check out your work. Thank you again so much for coming on, Erica. Now we're going to play you out with a little bit of Reunion by M83.
looks for the vibe.
Dance move, groove and shout it.
Would you love for the vibe?
Slave to the vibe, come on round now.
Slave to the vibe.
Dance move, groove and shout it.
Slave to the vibe.
Slave to the vibe, come on round now.
So okay. I don't expect any less.
Yeah. I'm genuinely starting to think that I'm not the kisser that I thought I was.
I think that you might be the problem. Because you have a problem every time someone kisses you.
I just follow the lead.
You just put your tongue in her mouth still. See, this is
just tickle around the tip of it.
Reese just does what they do.
Then how do you kiss? If you're always leading off them, then it's not like, maybe it's not them.
That's why I'm so bad at it.
Reese's lips and technique is like just mainstream music listening, isn't it? It's just like, just do what everyone else does.
Every Wednesday,
Payne the Wester Incorporated
from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
I feel like that was a very deep chat we just had about porn.
It was definitely a long chat.
Yeah, it was a long chat.
She had an awful lot to say, but she was really interesting. Oh, I'd like to see some of her movies now.
I would genuinely recommend checking them out. I'm not just saying that just because she's just been on the show. Because kind of when I first heard about it, I was, porn that is more from the woman's eye.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what that meant. I kind of thought that the man would be a little bit more fetishized in them, but it's not like that.
I think
at all.
What's interesting is it's very rare that you see porn, any kind of porn, where there's inequality of power.
Yes.
There's always usually one person will be dominating the other.
Absolutely.
And I imagine that's something that men tend to get off on more than women. So I'd be interested to see in her stuff whether they had a sort of equal power level
And that's exactly what it is, because when I first heard of it, I kind of thought it would be maybe like, my mind went to like a man
dominatrix, tied
up being tortured by a dominatrix.
No, but that's not going to turn on the woman either.
No,
necessarily.
It's not that, and it's exactly what you were just saying. It's about an equal power balance. Yep. It's about two people coming together and sharing something. Yep. But that doesn't mean it's not like hot. Like it's still porn. It's still it's still, the good stuff.
Yep. Great.
And you have seen every single.
I've seen
porn
all of them. Yeah. So.
All right, I know you love a game.
I love
Charlie.
A game.
You love a game. So this game is called Match Me If You Can, and I've got a lovely gentleman's dating app here.
Uh-huh.
It's his profile. It's not his real one. It's a celebrity, and I've got a couple of clues from his dating profile, and you're going to have to try and figure out
who he is.
I feel like you're pretty brushed up on your pop culture.
I've probably slept with him, to be honest.
Probably. You probably have. And it's probably written about on those little
websites.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Okay, well, I can start you off by telling you he's very handsome gentleman. He's somebody that I reckon I could have some fun with him. I know a lot of people go crazy over him. Your first clue. This man was born in Hollywood, Northern Ireland.
Oh.
I didn't even know there was a Hollywood in Northern Ireland.
Right.
But he's now very much associated with Hollywood, Los Angeles.
Oh.
I know that's not really much of a clue, but have you any ideas so far?
No.
I didn't know he was Irish, this gentleman.
Right, okay, well then that helps. Because I was just going, well, Colin Farrell, that's about it. And he's not Northern Irish.
I've seen him act, but I've maybe not seen interviews with him and things. I don't really know if he has an Irish accent, but he's in a very famous series of films.
Okay, I do think I know who it is.
He doesn't have an Irish accent. Do you really?
I do, actually.
Oh, okay, well, I'll give you another little clue. He is a versatile actor having played
always the best.
Having played both a serial killer
yep.
and a sheriff. Do you think do you know her?
I do.
Shall I rally off all your clues in one go?
Go for it.
All right. This young man was in a relationship with actress Keira Knightley from 2003 to 2005. Yep. Again, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And he's into, this is the giveaway,
yep.
he's into BDSM. Yep. His sexual preferences can be seen on the big screen.
Indeed. Who Jamie
is it?
Dornan.
It is absolutely yeah. Jamie Dornan. How did you know so much about him?
Because I remembered that he is from Northern Ireland.
Ah.
I suddenly had a memory of reading an interview with him where he said he was from or born there. I must have.
Does he have an Irish accent?
I don't know if he does, because I don't think I've ever seen him interviewed.
Yeah, I feel like if he does naturally have an Irish accent, he does a very good job of covering yeah. it up. Yeah, he just sounds American to me.
Yep.
So that's pretty impressive. Also, it says here that he's into BDSM, his sexual preferences can be seen on the big screen. Is he actually into BDSM?
I don't, you tell me. You've got his profile. I just assumed that was from 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, no, I assumed that was a nod to that, but I'm wondering if he's into BDSM himself in his personal life. That's not quite clear by this
profile here.
I would think it was pretty cool if he was into BDSM himself and he brought that onto the screen. But yeah, what do you feel about 50 Shades of Grey?
I don't feel much about 50 Shades of Grey. Mm. I know it's a huge phenomenon.
Yes.
I can almost say that with my car. Phenomenon. It's like the Tunes advert from when I was a kid. But I haven't read them. I haven't seen the films.
Yeah.
I don't really know much about
them.
So yeah, have you seen them?
I haven't read them, and I always do like to, if it was a book first, I always yeah. like to make sure I read them. I did see the first movie, and I thought it was very interesting. And I've heard kind of two very different arguments about this book, uh-huh. and I understand the merit in both of them. So on one hand, you've got people saying, you know, you never ever see like BDSM represented on screen.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
there are
millions of people around the world who enjoy BDSM, who perhaps have relationships that have built around BDSM, and we just don't see it. And it's kind of seen as this dark, sinister thing that other people do.
Yeah.
And nobody kind of thinks, oh, no, the postman does it. The English teacher in the school does it. You know, it's not kind of normalized. So I think 50 Shades, being this enormous book franchise and film franchise,
yeah.
is great for saying, hey, look at this. BDSM is a thing. It's completely normal. Let's celebrate that.
Yeah.
Yay. I think that's great. But then on the other side of things, I've seen a lot of people, and I kind of do agree with them, saying that 50 Shades is a complete misrepresentation of BDSM and kink and that whole community.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if this is in the books, but in the films, you know, the girl is very much seen as kind of his object, and she has to sign a contract to say that he can do whatever he wants to her and things like that. And to me, it just doesn't seem very realistic, and it almost ventures into almost being slightly problematic.
Right. Abusive properly rather than consensually.
Exactly. So I'm like, is this a representation of an abusive relationship? I think it's a very grey way. It's a very grey area.
It certainly is.
And I think I don't know how to navigate that, and I also don't know the answer. So I am super interested. If you do have any thoughts on that, do feel free to email us in, because I would love to hear some alternative perspectives. I feel like maybe I should get somebody who's like really into the kink community. I feel like
yeah,
I should get them on the show
yeah.
and have a conversation with them and see what they think about the whole thing. I think that would be helpful.
Good.
All right, we're going to be reacting to people's sex confessions. We're going to be doing that very, very shortly after a little song. So if you do have any last-minute confessions you want to send in, you can email them to callum@foobarradio.com. It's all completely confidential and anonymous, so don't worry about us spilling your secrets. And we'll be doing that very, very shortly. And maybe I'll give you a little confession as well, Charlie.
Thanks.
I'll treat you. The thing is, I'm running out. I'm running out.
Are you?
I give a confession every week. And I'm
oh, do you? You've run out.
Yeah, I need to get a more active sex
life. You're
only
young. You can't have that.
I've got a few. All right. This is Super Far.
mind got me thinking, what a snake, can you give me a reason? I don't think so, I don't think so. I'm in love with someone but I'm not sure she can love someone back the way they love her. I don't think so, I don't think so. Don't be me. If you wanna go, you can leave and leave my heart alone. Waking up to nothing when you're super far from home, and I watch you fall asleep at night and lay there on my own. Got me begging for affection, all you do is roll your eyes. Broken down, I've had enough. If this is love, I don't want it. Give it time, come on babe, it's been 10 months. You should know, do you know what you want? I don't think so, I don't think so. Make it work, know it hurts, but I'll go there. Do the same, can you show me that you care? Gotta hope so, but I don't think so. Don't be me. If you're here for good, I'm gonna need a little more from you. Waking up to nothing when you're super far from home, and I watch you fall asleep at night and lay there on my own. Got me begging for affection, all you do is roll your eyes. Broken down, I've had enough. If this is love, I don't want it. All my friends keep saying that I'm way too good to you, but my heart is so invested, I don't wanna face the truth. You still don't even try. Broken down, I've had enough. If this is love, I don't want it.
They just wanna divide. 2017, Bonnie and Clyde. Wouldn't see the point of living on if one of us died. Yeah. Got that kind of style everybody try to rip off. YSL dress under when she take the mink off. Silk on her body, pull it down and watch it slip off. Ever catch me cheating, she would try to cut my crazy, but I love her, I could never run from her. Hit it, no rubber, never would, no one touch her. Swear we drive each other mad, she be so stubborn. But what the fuck is love with no pain, no suffer? Incense, this shit it gets dense. She knows when I'm out, I feel like she could just sense. If I had $1 million, it was down to 10 cents. She'd be down for whatever, never gotta convince. You know,
hope to die to my lover, I'd never lie.
Love you,
baby. Still be true, I swear I'll try. In the end, it's him and I. He's got his head, I'm on my mind. We got that love, the crazy kind. I am his, and he is mine. In the end, it's him and I. Him and I.
Yeah.
Only one who gets me, I'm a crazy fucking Gemini. Remember this for when I die. Everybody dressed in all black suits in a tie. My funeral be lit if I ever go down or get caught or they identify. My bitch was the most solid, nothing to solidify. She would never cheat, you never see her with a different guy. Ever tell you different, then it's a lie. See, that's my down bitch. See, that's my soldier. She keep that thing thing. If anyone goes there, the karma collected. She keeps her composure, and she gon' ride for me until this thing over. We do drugs together, fuck up clubs together, and we both go crazy. If we was to sever, you know, we keep mobbing. It's just me and my bitch. Fuck the world, we just gon' keep getting rich, you know.
Cross my heart, hope to die to my lover. I'd never lie, said be true. I swear I'll try. In the end, it's him and I. He's got his head, I'm on my mind. We got that love, the crazy kind. I am his, and he is mine. In the end, it's him and I. Him and I.
I'ma ride with you. Mob and get money, get high with you. Yeah.
Cross my heart, hope to die. This is a ride or die. You can confide in me. There's none to hide, and I swear.
Stay solid, never lie to you. Swear most likely I'ma die with you.
Cross my heart, hope to die. To my lover, I'd never lie. Said be true, I swear I'll try. In the end, it's him and I. He's got his head, I'm on my mind. We got that love, the crazy kind.
Charlie, yep. People have been sending in their sex confessions.
Yep.
Got quite a few here.
Okay. Are you going to choose the best ones?
Obviously, yep. Always. All right, so the first sex confession that we have had in is, when I was flying to Canada, one of the flight attendants really checked my belt was working. Then halfway through the flight, we had sex in the bathrooms of the plane. And we have been going out for 2 years since. Okay, I feel like we're missing a part of this story here. It's gone from them checking their belt, by which I assume they were having a little feel of the a consensual feel of the nether regions.
Yeah.
And then how do you go from that to sex in the bathroom?
That's quite a leap, isn't it?
It is quite a leap.
There must have been a little bit. Well, I don't know though. You know what the gays are like.
Yeah, off
a little
you go.
Bit of eye contact,
off
and
you
you're
go.
In. I love the fact that they're together though. They've been going out for 2 years. It's like this happy ending got a happy ending, right?
I mean, I feel like that is like the definition of a modern day love story.
I know, it's lovely. You've got to watch those Canadians as well. My husband's Canadian. Yeah.
Can't be trusted.
Can't be trusted.
Can't be trusted. I don't know if you know the laws around these things, but like I've heard before that like having sex in the bathroom of an aeroplane is like super illegal, and you can actually be like really punished for it.
Really?
Because apparently, and I don't really understand how, but apparently by doing that you're putting the safety of the aircraft at risk. I don't understand how.
I would definitely imagine that as a flight attendant you shouldn't be having sex in the toilet. That I can pretty much guarantee isn't in the job description.
Yeah, but I mean, it just apparently as passengers you're not allowed to do it. Well, no, you're not allowed, but I didn't, you know, I thought it'd be a slap
on the
wrist.
Have you ever had sex in an aeroplane toilet?
I haven't, no. I might have masturbated in one once. There's your sex confession. No, I haven't.
No, I don't think I have.
I have in a train. I've done it in a train bathroom before.
No, I've not done it in a train bathroom before.
I think it's quite a difficult thing to kind of...
I've done it in my bathroom.
Oh, that's something. That's something. I think it's quite a difficult thing to organise as well. Like, how do you, like, I'll meet you in the bathroom in 2 minutes, but then... What if there's a knock on the door and it's some other guy? Do you know what I mean? It's quite the logistics of it, Charlie.
I'm all about the logistics.
they really, really throw me off. Oh, we have information about the laws around this. Okay, so this says, while there is no explicit British law against having sex on an aeroplane, there are some you're at risk of breaking. Under Section 71 of the Sexual Offences Act 2004, it is illegal to have sex in a lavatory to which the public has access.
There you go.
So actually, everything I just said is complete bullshit. You're not putting the plane at risk, but I feel like it's a slap on the wrist if you get caught doing that,
yeah,
isn't it?
I would say so.
And if I was a flight attendant working on a plane and I caught two people doing it in the bathroom, I'd be like, come on, guys, out you come.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, right, police are getting involved with this.
No.
So that's good to know. So, you know, maybe I'll get involved with that one day. All right, should we have another one?
Go on.
Would you like to read it, Charlie, with your sexy, colded up voice?
Sexy, bunged up voice.
Yeah.
This one says, I got drunk on St. Paddy's Day last year and went back to this guy's house. When I was giving him a blowjob, he started to toe me. That's toe. T-O-E me. I kind of liked it. Don't tell. I just have. I don't know what that means, toe me. Like, is that putting a toe up your
ass?
Yeah,
I think it's like instead of fingering, it's toeing.
Oh.
I think. But wait,
so
don't...
presumably he was... I'm just trying to get the logistics again. Was he... One of them was sitting down and the other one was presumably squatting. So he sat on his foot, basically.
I don't know. I'm trying... This is also confusing me. Wait, so if I've got somebody between my legs giving me a lovely blowjob... No, yeah. I'm between somebody's leg giving a lovely blowjob and then... Oh, I see.
If they're sitting on a chair and you're squatting in front of them...
Then they can just slip the toe in from behind.
They can slip their toe in.
I mean, people are into fingering, so I don't understand, you know, why not, why toeing should...
Yeah, why not? I mean, you probably couldn't get it in that far, but...
Yeah, they're not very long, a toe.
They're not.
Though I do have one of those, like, really weird hyperextended toes.
Do you?
So one of my toes is, like, ridiculously long.
You could use that.
Yeah, like, that would... we're talking still only a couple of inches.
Right,
but
okay.
I reckon I could do a little bit of damage with it. Just like cram it in there. Here's the definition of toeing. The act of pursuing sexual movements in the vaginal area with your toe instead of a finger to create pleasure for the women.
Maybe this was a woman.
Oh, yeah, perhaps. I think either or. You're sticking
either
a toe
or.
In a
Any
hole.
Any hole's a goal.
Any hole's a goal. So toe away. I think people have a weird thing about feet, don't they? People really don't like anything to do with feet.
Yeah. I posted a picture on Instagram the other day of me just sitting on a chair and I had my feet up.
Oh, no.
And somebody said, ooh, nice feet.
Yeah, you can't. Any time. There was a time once and I was in a yoga class and I just took a little... picture and put it on Instagram stories, said some nonsense about doing yoga, and I said to my friend as I was doing it, I said, oh, my feet are in this. And from experience, I said within 5 minutes this is going to be on foot fetish websites.
Really?
And literally it was like 30 seconds and it was there, and it was on this like Instagram page of like, it was called like Hot Guys Feet or something.
There you go.
Literally within a minute of me posting
it. Did they talk about your weird long toe?
They should. I feel like they should celebrate my weird long toe. So yeah, like the foot fetish community are active. They're on it. They're out there searching
for
it.
There you go, clearly.
So if you're gonna post a picture with your feet out.
There you go. Be prepared for it.
Going to go viral.
Well done for being toed.
Yeah, well done for being toed, and don't be ashamed of it. Be proud that you like to toe in the ass or vagina or wherever you want to stick it.
It was.
All right, shall I read another one?
Go on.
Okay. My housemate always has sex with the door open, and it's so loud. I need to tell her somehow to shut the door before I start jumping in and getting involved. Oops. Are you attracted to your housemate? Kind of sounds like... They might be attracted to their housemate.
Does sound a bit like that,
you know,
doesn't it?
And
also,
they want to get
having
involved.
Sex with the door open suggests that
they're interested too.
I'd go for it.
Yeah, just dive in. And then, you know, if it gets a bit awkward and they're like, oh, we didn't really want you to join us, be like, well, maybe just pop the door shut in future, because you're giving me mixed messages.
Totally.
I kind of feel, I know this is a bit weird because, you know, I try to be so kind of sex positive and open, but yeah. I always feel a little bit, I feel like my relationship with my housemate is so sacred
right.
that I don't know, we've lived together for years and I've never heard him have sex.
Really?
I know.
Does he
it's
have
shocking.
Sex?
He does, yeah. He has a boyfriend and they're regularly at it, but I've always either been out or I've been watching a movie which is particularly loud and it's been
maybe
going on.
Maybe they're just really quiet.
Maybe, like little mice.
Maybe. They wouldn't have been very good at that game we played earlier.
No, it'd just be silence.
Just silence.
So I don't know, like, I don't mind my housemate hearing me have sex.
Right.
But I don't really want to hear him have sex. So I don't know, I'd be like, shut that door, that's a bit...
Yeah,
that's a bit,
it's too much.
It'd be like hearing my brother have sex. Like, I'm not in the market for that.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, let's do another one. Would you like to read one again? I just like listening to your voice.
Do you?
I do.
It's getting worse. I'm so bugged up. It's not true. Okay, which one am I doing? The one that begins Okies.
Okies.
Okies. So I've got, I don't know what the kids talk about these days. That means okay. Okies. So I've got more of a query than a confession.
Oh.
I love sex in the shower, but my partner hates it. How do I get her to try it a bit more?
Ooh.
Well, I don't know the answer to that question. If she doesn't like it, it's probably quite difficult to get her to try it more. But you could, I don't know, maybe you could start off with, I don't know, just... I was going to say some other kind of water sports, but that's something completely different. Yeah, start in the sink, maybe move up to the bath. And I don't know, how would you suggest? What would you suggest?
I would suggest trying to find out the reason your partner hates it.
Yeah.
Because if your partner hates it, there's probably a reason for that. Maybe they feel particularly insecure about their body, for instance.
Maybe.
And being in the shower like that is very exposing and very open. Maybe they just hate, like, water getting all up in their business. Maybe I have a thing about my hair. So, like, even though I find shower sex hot, like... it messes up my hair, and then I feel like we're only talking a small amount, but I feel ever so slightly insecure that my hair gets
right.
all ugly,
yeah.
as I would call it, you know. So I would say try and figure out, have an opener dialogue about it, have a conversation, find out why they hate it, and then yeah. maybe that's something that you can potentially work around.
Yeah.
But also, like, if they really, really do hate it and they really, really don't want to do it, then I would try and accept that. Like, yeah. I feel like you can have great sex without sex in the shower, even if you really, really love it. There's other things you can do,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, it's not the be all and end all, is it?
No. Bit of sink sex.
Bit of sink sex. That's fine.
Sink sex is where it's at. So, yeah, best of luck as well. I hope you find some kind of resolution where you get to have great shower sex all the time. That'd be brilliant. So, yeah, all the luck in the world. All right, let's have another one. My quite new friend stopped talking to me because we fucked the same girl at the same time and she couldn't handle it the next day. I'm not sure why she got so awkward about it all. I thought it was a good time.
It's very difficult with threesomes and all that kind of stuff. I always think that the idea of it is much better than the reality.
I'm going to completely agree with you on that, you know. Like, in theory, I'm always like, oh, my God, threesome, that sounds amazing. Yeah. But, like, and I've had a fair few threesomes in my time. Most of them have kind of not been very good.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of found, like, it's like, no matter what kind of position the three of you do, I feel like it's always two people.
Someone's
and one
always
on the
left
side.
Out.
Somebody's always left out. And like, I've had threesomes where I've got with like a guy I've really, really liked, and then like we've got another guy involved, and I'm enjoying it because I'm with two gorgeous guys, for instance.
Yeah.
But the actual, it doesn't work for me. So yeah. I completely.
But there are only so many holes.
There
right?
are only so many holes, and there are only so many pointy outy things.
Yeah, I know. It's complicated.
Where do you put it?
Maybe that. Well, maybe that's why she couldn't handle it. Maybe she felt left out.
But then, why? I'm confused. Why is the friend not talking to them?
Well, that's what I'm saying. She couldn't handle it the next day.
Oh, I
so
see.
So maybe she got awkward about it because she felt left out. Or maybe it's just awkward when you've had sex with a friend.
maybe. I need to stop having sex with my friends. It always never ends well for me.
It never does.
Never ends well for me. I don't know what to recommend to these people. I think I think you've just got to chalk it up to what it is. Like, we had a threesome. It got a bit awkward. Now our friendships are a little bit... Like, try and salvage the friendship, but I think you have to accept...
Just have a chat about it.
Maybe accept that things have changed forever. Okay. Would you like to do the next one, Charlie?
The last one. See, I once broke up with a sexy boy because he had weird teeth and the blowjob felt weird. Well, first of all, if his teeth were getting in the way, he was doing it wrong. and also... If he was sexy, why were his teeth weird? I don't really understand that.
I don't understand. Like, how weird can somebody's teeth be if the blowjob felt weird? Like, the teeth should be out of the picture anyway.
They should be completely out of range.
Yeah. So maybe it's the sexy boy's technique rather than his actual teeth. But, like, how weird can a person's... unless they were, like, massive hamster teeth and they're all, like, jagged and, like...
Or maybe the guy's cock was so big that his teeth just, he couldn't help but scrape it with his teeth. Who knows? We'll never know.
We never will know. I'd try again.
Yeah.
Try again and just maybe politely say, you know,
Move your teeth.
Yeah, if someone said that to me, I'd be mortified though. Like, your teeth are in the way, you're not doing it right. But just try and be a little bit more, be polite about it. Try it again. And if it's still... oh, no, they broke up. So it's redundant. My advice is redundant.
Yeah, yeah.
They broke up. They've gone. don't know what to say about that. Well, those were some really, really good sex confessions.
They were.
I was going to tell you one of my sex confessions.
Go on.
But I kind of feel like... I'm starting to run out of sex confessions.
Really? Have you confessed?
Okay. I've confessed everything. No, okay, I'll tell one. I was once with my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
We were together for a very long time. We were engaged even.
Oh.
Long, long-term relationship. And we went out to Spain. And I have, like, I have allergies. Like, I have hay fever and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But in this country... It's fine.
Yep.
And, you know, we would go and have sex in the woods or the fields and it would be all great and I would have no issue. So we're out in Spain and we go off for a little bit of an adventure in the countryside and we start, you know, getting down to it and having a bit of fun, at which point, like, my allergies really, really, really start to act up. And we're kind of like, you know, when you're like in the moment of it and you're really...
Yeah.
And you're really going for it with somebody.
You're shouting, freedom!
Freedom! Yeah, exactly that. And we're kind of like rolling around, which is just making it all really, like really, really bad. I'm getting all congested. And I was giving him a blowjob.
Yeah.
Which is when it got to like its kind of worst part. So like my eyes are streaming, my nose is all clogged up. And I feel like when you're giving oral sex, that whole area is already compromised when it comes to breathing.
It is.
So I start violently sneezing.
Oh, no.
With his penis still in my mouth.
Oh. No. Don't tell me you clamped down.
Well, no. Like the teeth were out of the situation. This
Thank
is not
God.
Another weird teeth thing.
Yeah.
But I think it was like the whole like tensing up of the mouth and everything else that he said... It was the best blowjob of his entire life.
Wow.
And bear in mind, he'd had many from me before. We were in a long-term relationship. But it actually worked. Hay fever could be...
amazing.
Could be the trick
well,
to
listen,
good
oral sex. Maybe tonight's the night. I can't breathe at all. So maybe that'll help. It is Valentine's Day, after all. So, you know.
Well, after that, he kept sneaking hay into the bedroom. Never figured out why. Just... Have a little bit of a whiff on that. No, he didn't. He didn't actually do that. Well, Charlie, this brings us to the end of the show.
Oh,
you have been.
It's been fun.
Yeah, you've been a really, really great guest.
Thank you very much.
I loved learning a little bit more about you in the Two Truths and a Lie earlier. Though I've already forgotten which one was the lie.
Yeah, I have as well, to
so
be honest.
So all those things about you are true. If people want to follow you around, you've just joined Instagram, right?
Yeah, not that long ago. Well, I joined ages ago and then I never did anything with it.
Sure.
And I've just started to get into it the
last
few months.
And now you just feet pictures all the time.
feet pictures. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, and I'm all of those things. And all the social media.
And how do people find you? Is it just your name?
Yeah, at Charlie Kondo.
At Charlie Kondo. Amazing. Well, you have been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me
on the show. And I'm going to give you a little bit of... Was this one of your song choices? Bit of Jax Jones?
No.
Absolutely not. Not one of your choices.
Not one of mine.
All right. This is Breathe. See you later.
You're my discretional sin. I feel you on me when I touch my skin. You got me hooked and you're reeling me in. And I look in your eyes, I'm on the edge. You're on my mind like a song that I can't escape. I don't know how many da-da-dums I can take. I need to know if you're feeling the same. Is it too late? But now it's hard to breathe.
And now it's hard to breathe.